Good morning to you and welcome to the Sam and Manu Show.
Good morning, LA the world.
This is Tuesday, February 12th.
Second week of our program, BBS Talk Radio.
Second week and we're going strong.
Yeah.
How are you, Manu?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day. And yes, I'm back to myself after a very frustrating few minutes before the show when email wasn't working.
You should have seen him.
And I realized I forgot my cell phone at home, so I'm totally not reachable today. And that does not make me happy.
He was possessed by the devil for a moment.
Yeah. I was. And Manu was about to flee to flee the studio and not have anything to do with me.
No, that's okay. I behave exactly the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. William does run.
It's called techno stress. There's a name for it. And I don't like it. It can make a grown man cry.
Yes, and that's what you were claiming. I'm gonna fucking cry. Yeah.
Well, you don't have to tell the rest of the world that.
You admitted it.
Yeah, I know. So we had a good show yesterday.
Huh? Yes, I think we did. It was certainly full of entertainment, everything happening.
We had two guests here, and it was just amazing. Huh?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So we got another guest today, I think someone pretty interesting, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
We've been getting lots of guests, huh?
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm very curious to what this gentleman's going to come in about, something about transformation.
Yeah, something like that. I don't even remember.
Transformation through meditation or something like that. Yeah. So we'll wait until he comes in and we'll ask him a few questions.
Yeah, definitely. What's going on in the news? Anything that...
Oh, the same bullshit, you know.
Yeah, same bullshit, nothing
important. No, they, I just read something that Britney Spears up in North Hollywood is now teaching young kids how to dance up in one of the dance studios in North Hollywood. They're like, oh my God, it just sounds like bullshit there. Like she's supposed to be an idol now, like a good role model right now to be teaching young kids how to dance. She can't even dance herself right now, she's so high. You know?
Now, why would she be doing this? Maybe she's trying to do some community service or something?
No, there's no community service involved.
No.
Yeah, she's. I don't know what she's doing. Yeah. Like I said, it must be a publicity stunt or something like that going on.
I got to tell you what happened to me yesterday. I forgot to tell you yesterday, but when I came to the office, I went and made my coffee in the machine that we always do.
You know,
we have an espresso machine here that's awesome. And
I've never seen anything like it.
No, it's really cool. You put like pouches of coffee in there and foam, and it makes a perfect cappuccino, you know.
Yeah, it does.
I love that. So at any rate, so I'm putting my mug in and I press the buttons and suddenly everything starts to spill. All the milk, white stuff is like spilling out of the cup, and I'm thinking, what happened here? You know, I mean, it starts like spraying on me and everything, and
what did happen?
What's going on? You know, so I'm like, I'm taking it out and slowly taking it to the sink to empty it out, you know? And I'm realizing I had the mug upside down. On the machine.
Oh, my God.
Is that like ditzy or what?
Sam, you need to go to bed earlier.
I think so, yeah. I mean, I'm totally like distracted.
That is so funny.
I know, and you should have seen it. You know, and I'm thinking it's like, you know, overflowing, but it never went into the mug in the first place. So I thought I'd tell you that. That was funny the other day.
It's like putting a cigarette backwards in your mouth, right?
Yeah, and lighting the filter. Oh, my God, that happened a couple of times. It stinks as hell.
No, you need to get more sleep. You haven't been getting much sleep.
No, I haven't. It's starting to affect me, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm getting delusional.
He's been driving around, what would be a terminology? Sleep drunk? No, yeah, that's right. Sleep drunk.
Oh, okay.
You get to a point where you just feel like you're drunk. Because you're just so tired.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's dangerous to drive like that.
But,
I try not to, you know. It's not safe. It's not safe to drive when you're falling asleep, you know.
A lot of people do it.
I know. Sometimes I'm afraid I will, you know. And it's really scary. I mean, because it's like so possible to fall asleep for a split second. And that's all it takes to fucking get in a car accident.
Yeah.
So it's pretty scary, you know.
I think it's probably more dangerous than driving drunk.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I don't know, but I don't condone either one, obviously. I had so much things to talk about, but I didn't really prepare today. And
neither did I.
So let's go.
Because we had a rundown on computers, and well, I had an interesting day yesterday.
Yeah.
I left here, and I had to prepare to go in for what I thought was a second interview for a job that I had applied for over a week ago. And so so I went in, and next thing I know, I find out that it's an actual orientation day.
So orientation for what?
A job. So I go in, and then I was like, okay, okay, so everyone ready for the second interview? And they said, no, this is orientation. So I've been officially employed for the last week, and I didn't even know it. I didn't even know it.
Yeah.
And so yesterday we had orientation.
So you have a job?
Yes, I have a job, like I said.
And you didn't know you had a job.
I didn't even know I had a job.
So, so you went like for a second interview or
something?
I
thought I was going for a second interview.
Oh, my God.
How's that, huh? And then to top it off, she sits down and she says, you know, she asked me to go upstairs and check out the bar because I am doing bartending at this new restaurant bar that's opening. And she said, look, I understand you've got your radio show until 11, but I'm really hoping that you can be here, you know, by 12 or 12:30 because I want to make you my supervisor for the bar. and everything.
So this is at a bar? You're going to work?
This is a new place that is right there on Argyle and Sunset Boulevard. Argyle, like between Vine and Argyle.
So it's right in Hollywood.
It's right in Hollywood.
Right,
right in Hollywood.
Okay.
And it's like where the House of Blues corporate building is.
Yeah.
Yeah, right there. And it's called Waffle.
The Waffle.
And it's a new restaurant. Yeah, it's just all waffles and obviously different other things on the menu.
I'll come visit you sometime. I like
it
waffles.
It is really, really reasonably priced, including the bar.
Really?
And, she had me go through all the liquor and everything like that. All last night, I spent the whole night going through every drink and everything like that and pricing it. So we don't have a drink any more than, like, $6.95.
Oh, wow. That's
pretty
good.
She told me, this is kind of like the pricing guide, and this is what I want. And I was like, okay, well. Yeah. And so I priced all the drinks. So,
you know, but I find drinks, alcoholic drinks, to be the biggest ripoff there is, you know?
Oh,
because,
can be,
I mean,
yeah, totally.
You know, even at $6.95, I mean, they put like a shot of alcohol in there. You can buy the whole friggin' bottle for that price.
No. Well, you know? $6.95 is actually for drinks that I've, like, you know, that has at least 3 to 4 or 5 choices of alcohol. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Most of the drinks are like $5.25, $5.50, $5.95.
That's pretty good.
That is good.
I mean, you
compared
go to Vegas.
Compared to what you see.
You go to Vegas, it's like $15 a drink.
Oh, my
You know?
God.
Yeah. And it's like, where did they get off charging you that?
Yeah, I know.
You know,
I know.
I mean, you buy a friggin' bottle for $5.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
So that's like a big ripoff. I try not to drink when I'm out. I mean, I don't like drinking anyway. But even when I do, I... It burns me every time when they charge me that kind of money.
I got knocked over on the price of a drink a couple of weeks ago. I went to the Omni Hotel into the lobby lounge.
Right.
And so my girlfriends were having a couple of martinis, and none of us, you know, questioned the price of a martini.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, it couldn't be more than $10.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we were thinking, because it's not a 5-star hotel by all means or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
We get the bill. I had 2 martinis. Next thing I know, it's like $32.
For 2 martinis?
For 2 freaking martinis.
Wow.
And I went like, God damn it.
I know. It's like, it's a ripoff. I mean, fuck 'em.
That is a total ripoff.
Yeah.
Total ripoff. And all I had was, the first one was an apple martini. Whoopie freaking do. You know, I mean, seriously, that thing, you know, there's literally nothing to it.
Right.
And the second was a key lime. Key lime pie martini.
Oh, yeah, I like those.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Key lime pie. Tastes really delicious.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. So, how did Did Tiger like the interview yesterday?
Yes, she did.
She did. She did. Have a good time?
Yes, she did.
Great.
She did.
Great.
So there's more to her than you would ever expect.
I know.
I found out yesterday she was a school teacher as well.
Wow.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, she taught primary.
Yeah.
Primary school.
Teaching sucks, let me tell you. I used to be a substitute teacher.
Right.
For a couple of years for the Los Angeles School District. And I really was dreaming of really teaching and getting into it. You know, I've always wanted to teach.
Right.
And so I became a substitute teacher, and that gave me an opportunity to see the different schools, the different kids, the different teachers there, and so forth. So it looked like, you know, on paper it looked great.
Right.
And I did enjoy in the beginning. And then I realized that I'm actually a policeman in the classroom rather than a teacher, because there is such behavioral problems in the schools. And I'm here to tell you, you know, it's not like I was just in one school or one grade or one classroom. I've been to a lot.
Right.
Okay? And other than the honors classes, where you get kids that are actually serious about school, where it's really pleasant to teach, but the rest of the classes are just horrendous. And it's just, after a while, I just got so irritated with that. I thought, I'm not getting any satisfaction out of this.
Yeah.
You know, the kids don't give a shit, you know.
We're always telling them to be quiet, sit down,
yeah,
behave.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you can't teach.
Yeah.
You can't teach. You
not
know?
In an environment like that. Yeah. Do you think it's because there's like so many children in one class? Or how many children typically is in one class?
About, I think the average is like 35 to 40 students, and that's a big class.
See, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you can't
control
that.
How the hell are you supposed to teach
kids?
Children that, you know, of that size?
You can't control it. And, you know, I was in mostly at middle school, some high school, and it's, it doesn't matter. I mean, some parts of town are better than others.
Yes.
But for the most part, it's just not rewarding anymore, you know. So I've seen a lot of disillusioned teachers just leave the job and go look for something else.
Oh, no, yeah. I've come across many teachers that have just chosen a completely different career path.
Yeah, it's just not rewarding anymore, and it's like
going
out to the battlefield.
And they don't get paid enough at all.
No, they don't get paid enough.
Yeah.
And maybe if they did, we'd get better teachers, too.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, from what I'm hearing for my kids, hearing this from the students' perspective, and I've seen it before with other teachers, is, you know, most teachers, what they do is they just have you sit down, they have you read a chapter or do a project or something or some class work, and they just sit around and do nothing, the teacher, the whole day. And what I like to do is actually lecture, you know, in math, and actually teach them. And so that part I really enjoyed, but it was always tainted by the bad behavior.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Yeah.
See, I don't know. I'm back home. I think I don't know what it's like today, you know, these days. But I remember specifically when I went to school, our classrooms were so small.
Yeah.
You know, really, really small.
Yeah, and that helps, you know.
And
you
I tell you what, if we misbehaved, we got a caning.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no bullshit. I was a menace. I really was.
Really?
I was a menace. Every single day, I would be down.
Really?
At
you were
the principal's office, and I would be getting caned.
Really? Oh, my God.
I was a rebel. Rebellious.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going through some issues, obviously. But I figured it out.
Yeah.
But I hated school. I hated school. It
Did
just
you?
Wasn't me at all.
Yeah.
I wanted to do everything else but go to school. So
it's hard. I mean, some kids just don't have the patience.
No, I certainly did. I was like the classroom clown, and it wasn't for a good reason. It was because, one, I hated school, and secondly, it was a way to hide, you know, a lot of internal stuff that I think I obviously was trying to cover up somehow.
Yeah.
And then at 15, as soon as I turned 15, it was halfway through the school year.
Yeah.
I was out of there.
Really?
Yeah. I refused to go back.
Yeah.
Refused. Yeah. Just didn't want to do it. And then, you know, and at 15, you can do an apprenticeship, whether it be in plumbing, electrician, car mechanic, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, I decided to work with my cousin, who was a hairdresser.
Uh-huh.
And then I learned very quickly, too, that I hated that.
Yeah.
But I stuck with it for 2 years because it was a paying job.
Really?
You know, through apprenticeship.
Yeah.
And then at 17, I went into the military to get the hell out of the town because it was so miserable.
Some life you've had, I'm telling you.
There's more to me than you know.
Yeah. So in the news, Obama still, now they're saying he has advantage in weeks ahead. So
yeah.
I think he's really got the momentum. You know, I think he's really going to do it. And Hillary's in trouble, right?
Yeah, and I think she's realizing that, and she fired her previous campaign manager and hired on the advisor. Her campaign advisor hired her on as campaign manager. She just ended up swapping the roles.
I see.
So her new campaign manager is a black woman. Maybe that's her way of niche to try and figure out how to beat, you know, Obama.
Obama, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you need to teach me a few things here so I can understand Obama. I don't know.
But the Clintons, in the past have had quite a popularity among black people. So I guess some blacks are probably conflicted, you know, whether to go with Obama or Clinton. Because I think that either one of them would be good for blacks.
And well, you know how yesterday I said I saw a few people walking around with Obama shirts?
Yeah.
Well, every one of them was black.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Okay, I guess that's sort of like to be expected.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah.
I suppose so. But you know what? Can you blame him? I mean, seriously, this is going to make history.
What's that?
Like Obama. Oh, the elections. Obama being, the first black president.
Yeah.
And then Hillary being the first female. This is going to be incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't
wait. We'll see what happens.
Come on. Come on around.
Yeah.
Just get Bush out of here. God damn it.
Do you hear that a lot of people don't like McCain, I guess? A lot of the Republicans don't like McCain.
And he's a Republican.
He's a Republican. He's the leading candidate right now. And a lot of people don't like him. And
I see that as a good thing.
You do?
Republicans don't like McCain, even though he's a Republican.
Right.
Because he's obviously not abiding by their rules, which are fucked up anyways. Yeah, right? Yeah.
He's a little more to the center, I think.
Yeah.
Than most Republicans.
It's just that he's not an attractive man at all.
Well, it's not about attractiveness
here. I don't know. They tried to lay that on Hillary. They tried to lay that on Hillary.
That's true. That's true. Huh? They hold women to a different standard.
Oh, yeah. Like, she's not attractive enough. She wasn't holding her age enough. And, she needed to be polished all the time. It's like, go ahead and have some plastic surgery, Hillary, and then show them up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
My God. Come on.
Well. Oh, well. At any rate, we've got some great shows. In case you haven't listened yet, we have The World of T.J. McCormick. He comes on at 12 every day. Today, however, he will not be in. He needs to go, I guess, to the doctor or got some personal reasons. And he might actually be here at 2 o'clock. Instead of 12, we're going to have Johnny Dam and... I think Merrill Davis is going to be with him again today. They're hilarious. Have you listened to them?
No, I haven't had a chance because my ass has been out there trying to find a job.
Well, now you got one, right?
Yeah, I didn't even know it until yesterday.
Well, congratulations to you.
How funny is that?
Yeah, I know.
So.
But just to go back to the damage report, I find Merrill to be very funny, and she's taken on to our station.
Yeah.
And they really have fun when they're here, and she'll say just about anything, and actually so would Johnny for that matter.
Yeah.
So it's fun to have them. And Johnny actually told me if TJ's not going to be here on time, I'll do 4 hours. And I said, knock yourself out,
Wow.
I don't know what the hell he's going to talk about for 4 hours.
What exactly does he cover? What kind of subject matter does he cover?
Well, they talk about general things, mostly politics.
Right.
And they joke around, and, they're pretty funny, both of them. They've done some comedy in their time. And, it's pretty funny, those are the ones, those are our daily shows, and you want to catch them every day. We get more and more listeners every day, so... we're going in the right direction, definitely.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Also, we have, today we don't have any evening shows. And but we do want to tell you that if any of you are interested in hosting a show, this is your opportunity to join us at BBS Talk Radio. If you have a good idea for a show, please contact us. There's contact information on the website, and we'd love to hear from you. You know our format. We're irreverent, we're entertaining, and we're cool.
I like that word.
Yeah.
We are cool.
Entertaining, cool.
Yep.
There you go. That's his new effect. We should have been playing the glass smashing earlier on.
Yeah. Well, we have a glass crash, too.
A glass crash.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. And our machine gun, of course. And then if we fall asleep, if we get a boring guest. So that's how the effects we have. So, yeah, it's starting to feel like a real radio station.
It does, huh?
Yeah.
It is.
It really does. So let's take a quick break.
Yep.
And we'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay.
We are back.
We're back. There's a an article about the fact that sex is declining in marriage, you know, and I guess, you know, as the years go by, there's less and less sex, you know. So I wanted to give you a couple of things that they wrote here, and
I can say one good reason.
Yeah.
Because you're working all the time.
Well, that's definitely one of them. So, but let me go through it with you.
Okay.
This is from CNN.com, and it's called Surprising Reasons You're Not Having Sex. Okay, so this is obviously aimed at women, and it says that
An
estimated 40 million Americans have what experts call a sexless marriage, and they define that as having sex less than 10 times a year.
Oh, that sounds insane.
I know, 40 million Americans.
No wonder this country is unhappy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I know. You wonder what happens. But here, so let's see some of the things they're listing. The first one is your bed isn't sexy anymore. You know, and I think what they mean by that is some people will eat in bed, you know, they'll watch TV in bed and
you're
all that stuff.
So right.
Know? Yeah. So bed is really for sleep and sex. You know? And so when it becomes like, you know, unattractive sexually, then I guess. I mean, that's what.
Do you have a television in your bedroom?
No, I don't.
You don't?
I don't.
I hardly commend watch television you. I commend you for that.
Yeah. Even because when I watch television, I never did.
There are so many people that I know since I've been here in the U.S.
Right.
So many people, even guys that I've dated, mm-hmm. have a freaking television in their bedroom.
Yeah.
And they eat there, they drink there, they watch television there. And I was like, no wonder. It's like, there's no way I wanted to have sex while you know, the goddamn TV's on, football or basketball or some bullshit like that.
I know. No, we don't do that. We definitely focus on cuddling and stuff. And
no, the bedroom together, is meant to be the romantic sex haven.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. The next reason is your meds are stealing your sex drive.
Oh, okay. We're all over-medicated.
Medication, yeah. that's true, you know. I mean, a lot of people are like on antidepressants and I guess, you know, anxiety medication
Lipitor.
And stuff. Yeah, and all that stuff. And I know that most of them have side effects, and often it's, you know, diminished sexual, diminished libido.
Libido,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's pretty sad, you know. I mean, but what are you gonna do? You know, you have a dilemma. Do I choose to feel good, or do I choose to be able to get hard or be able to climax doing sex? You know, but it's sort of like one interferes with the other.
But I think this country in overall is, regardless of the fact, over medicated for no goddamn reasons for a lot of the cases.
Yeah, well,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but what would you base that on? I don't know that you can say
I don't know.
They're over medicated. Maybe there's just more awareness now of people's problems, you know, where 50, 70 years ago, somebody would be depressed and they just you know, he wasn't considered sick or you know, they would just
considered
that.
But I know, but don't you feel that every time someone has a problem or something like that, oh, I don't feel well, or this and that, the first thing people say, oh, go to the doctor, he'll give you something.
Yeah.
You know, there's always seems to be this pill that can solve your problem or make you feel better.
Well,
or,
if it, if
you know what I mean? And it's just
ridiculous. Yeah. If the doctor gives you something, then they are responsible for the for over medication. But I don't know that they do. I mean, I don't have any concrete evidence.
But the FDA, you know, the FDA relies on this to get their money.
On what?
On sales of
sales
drugs?
I've never heard that before.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, I'm not kidding. Pharmaceuticals and the FDA.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right, so that's medication, and obviously it interferes with sex life, and I'd imagine there's a lot of people on medication. So your sex drive will definitely diminish if you go on medication.
All right, what's the third one?
The third one is your crazy busy life, and that's what you mentioned.
That's a given.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we all work hard today, and there's not much time, you know. When you get home, you're tired. You don't want to think. The
both
last
partners,
thing you think about is sex.
Both partners,
and, and satisfying someone else, you know. You just don't.
No.
Yeah. Now, the next one is common with, I guess, more with women than with men, and that is you don't like your body. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine many women who are not comfortable with the way they look would probably tend to have less sex. You know, because they don't feel sexy.
No.
What do you think?
Well, no, I think that's true. Because, like, particularly here in L.A., everything's all about image. Everything's all about weight loss. I mean, you look at the television.
Right.
It's completely bombarded all the time about weight loss and, you know, fitness thing and the pill that will make you lose weight fast and look sexy and all this kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, eventually it's going to start getting into your head, like, I'm too fat, I'm too fat. And you look at the celebrities and they're so, you know, stick thin and everything like that. So you're having all these dysfunctional women, you know, like trying to, you know, going anorexic or just doing crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Because they're so uncomfortable with their own body because of what society is being pushed, is pushing out there what the ideal body is and how to look sexy.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean,
but you have to admit, a lot of people have terrible bodies. You know, they're just ugly. You know? I mean, you know, rolls of fat or just no proportion in the body and
stuff.
Well,
hey, you know, I came up the elevator this morning and this woman, obviously obese, obviously obese, and in front of her she has a freaking full tray of McDonald's, you know, the fries, the burgers. I mean,
oh,
like,
God.
And it's like a shake, and you know,
and it's always like the people that
and
least
it's like, come on, you know, and it stank. It stank the elevator. It's like, I don't, you know, I haven't eaten McDonald's now in so long.
Yeah,
I cannot even remember what it tasted like, but the smell alone just turns me right off. It just turns me.
I used to love McDonald's when I first came out here, but when I was real little, obviously.
Yeah.
But it tastes like plastic, you know?
It's not food,
you know?
No.
It seems like it all comes out of a machine or something.
Yeah, Everything's like processed.
Yeah.
You know, even the cheese. You don't even know what, you know?
Yeah.
The
yeah.
cheese doesn't even look like cheese.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know? I mean, and for a while there, it used to be disgusting to walk in there. You know, all the restaurants were dirty, and just they weren't kept up at all.
No.
So,
no.
But they've finally got wind of that, and they made some changes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there you go. There's a brand, you know, and doesn't matter
the,
what
the
you try to do.
The first word that we said, right? McDonald's.
Yeah. If, I mean, if, you know.
Well, I mean, we've got one right downstairs.
Yeah.
You know.
I know. They're everywhere.
So it's easy for someone who misses out on breakfast and go to McDonald's, fix themselves up with an egg McMuffin or whatever the heck else she had.
Yeah. But why is it always like the fat people, the ones that eat that food the least, are the ones that eat that, you know? I mean, you go to a restaurant, you see like this big dessert and stuff ordered by this fat, obese, ugly bitch. And, you know, and then she just like eats this and you go, she's the last one who needs this right now.
And then they get a diet soda.
Yeah.
You know. I love that.
Yeah.
Two Big Macs and a diet soda, please.
Yeah. I don't know, but we have too many fat people in this society.
I know. But even, you notice the coffee shops, are... Like, it's becoming overwhelming that all the flavors, everything's all that powder stuff now.
Yeah.
It was scoops of powder. It's not the real deal anymore. The only thing that's the real deal, really, is your cappuccino, perhaps, and that, and then, and of course your latte. But anything else, it's all the scoops of powder for flavor, and your frappuccino and your chai latte and all sorts of stuff. Even your goddamn eggnog, they bloody throws in a couple of scoops of whatever this powder is. You know what I mean? And a frappuccino. You know what I'm talking about, a frappuccino.
Right.
That has like over 2,000 calories in that goddamn thing.
Is that so?
Yes.
Wow. That's a lot of calories. And that's a whole day's diet.
And it's a delicious drink. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
How can
it have so many calories in it? What do they put in there?
I don't know. It's
ice and coffee and some sugar.
It's that powder. That powder stuff is just like chocked full of sugar.
Yeah.
So,
2,000 calories?
Yeah, it has just over 2,000 calories.
Oh, that's a lot. I've never
had
one.
It is a lot. Yeah. And a lot of people aren't thinking about that.
Yeah.
You know, people aren't thinking about the calories. They're just like feeding their bodies for no goddamn reason.
Yeah. That Starbucks, man, that's a success story like
isn't
no
it?
Other. You know, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
Even in Australia now.
Yeah.
They're in Australia.
Oh, they must be. I mean, I'm not surprised. They're everywhere. And, you know, in some countries, though, in Europe, it hasn't caught on because there's been a coffee culture there for so many years that a Starbucks that comes in is just, you know.
An insult.
Yeah, exactly. It's
particularly
like a joke.
Particularly in Italy.
Yeah.
In Italy, you will never see a Starbucks in Italy, I don't think.
Yeah.
Because it's too influenced by your coffee, you know, your coffee cafes and everything like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. You go in, you get porcelain mugs and that, you know.
And they sit and read the paper or smoke the cigarettes and,
you know, and Starbucks is paper cups, you know. I mean, it's really classless, you know. but for the American lifestyle, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Know? And if you notice, sometimes you'll see in the same intersection, you'll have two Starbucks. And because their strategy is, we'll open one here rather than our competition opening one here. So, you know, so they figure, you know, yes, they double the costs, but they take the market share. You know?
Right, right.
So, but Starbucks is good. You know, in our standards here, Starbucks is good. You know, because most places you go and the coffee just sucks. You know, it's watery or.
My favorite coffee place would have to be Pete's. I like
Pete's
the taste.
Is very good.
I like the taste of the coffee from Pete's.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So there's, coffee originally came out of Arabia.
Probably.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Have you ever had Turkish coffee?
I love it.
Yeah, it's like mud, you know.
Yeah, it's totally like mud. Yeah. But I tell you what.
And it's very good. It's very strong. It's like
Here's a couple of benefits of coffee.
Oh,
all right. Now
that.
Now that we're on the coffee subject.
Yeah, but we already talked about coffee before.
Only one. Okay. Oh. So people who drink coffee are less likely to commit suicide than people who don't.
Really?
Well, that didn't exactly work up in Seattle, does it? It still has the highest rate of suicide up in Seattle.
Yeah,
and
I guess
Seattle
it doesn't work
has
there,
all. Huh? Seattle is the coffee place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we know that's bullshit.
Amazing.
Then. when coffee first arrived in Europe, it was known as Arabian wine.
Oh wow! So you see, you were right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
Arabian wine.
Yeah. How's all right.
And you also said coffee was a cleanser, right? And I told you, obviously it is, because every time I drink it, I have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, if you drink it first thing in the morning, you know, typically within half an hour to an hour, you're running off to the bathroom
It doesn't even take me that long.
It doesn't.
But it keeps you regular, you know, so that's good, you know.
Right.
There's no way I'm leaving the house with a load in the morning, you know. Got to empty out the tanks before.
Well, I'm glad you're doing it at home, not here.
Yes. No, I can't do it at public bathrooms.
I've had a few surprises already here.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
disgusting.
You know, the disgusting thing is you go in the bathroom to take a leak and you hear somebody just like farting, or they have this loudest movement that it's just like disgusting. Just the noise, you know, and the sound of this. And I just like, I just run out, you know, I run out, I can't stand it. And I go, how can people, you know, and sometimes will they sit in two adjacent stalls and both take shit at the same time? You know, I could never, ever do this, you know. I mean, I'd fucking shit in my pants before I go in a public restroom. I just can't. you know.
Not even in
for
this
number
building.
Number two, that is. Yeah, even here, yeah. It's just that it's. I don't feel comfortable. I've got to be alone.
I have come in twice to the bathroom here, and I have found an unflushed turd in the goddamn... in the toilet bowl.
There's nothing more gross than that, to see a turd, because it stays in your brain the whole fucking day.
You know what? Speaking of that, isn't it amazing how, like, this is nothing I've ever seen until I came here to the U.S.
Yeah.
You know, because the water sits up high on a lot of the toilet bowls.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So you're taking a turd, and if it's one of those hard ones or something like that, right,
it splashes
it
right
drops
into
and
your
splashes
ass.
Right up, right? So that's the first thing that I didn't enjoy. It's like, God damn it, you know?
Yeah.
The second thing that I didn't enjoy is that literally you have to stand there and watch the whole thing do this whirlwind thing and wait for it to go down before you walk away. And I think that's why we see turds left in the bowl, because people flush. And not standing there to check
to
see
sure
if it's
that
gone.
It's gone. Yeah. Well, obviously they don't give a shit, you know. They wouldn't leave a turd there in the first place, you know.
But I've never experienced standing there, holding the flush button down to make sure that thing goes down and just watch it swirl around.
Yeah, I know. Well, you don't have to watch it, you know.
But God, you know, how can you not sometimes? Like, this is ridiculous. This is insane what I'm doing here.
I know. As I said before, I think taking a shit is one of the grossest things in life.
But
I don't know why I have that. I must have had some trauma when I was a kid. But
well, you tried to eat shit when you're young. Most babies do.
I don't know. I don't know about that. Maybe I did. I don't know. But it's not about eating shit. It's about even thinking about it. It's just a terrible, terrible thing for me. And it stinks and it looks ugly and the whole act of it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, to look at somebody sitting on the toilet is pretty shocking. You know?
I know.
I think.
Particularly if they're overweight.
Yeah. I don't know how some people can go into the bathroom and leave the door open, you know, for their spouse to see. Or do you do that? I mean, are you guys comfortable with going to the bathroom in front of each other?
Not doing a shit, but, doing a whiz, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Not a problem?
I'm comfortable with that.
Really?
Ooh.
Yeah.
There's a little bit on the L word about going to the bathroom.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. The scene is Jenny, one of the characters. Uh-huh. She steps out of the shower, right? Mm. She's having a shower with her girlfriend. She steps out of the bathroom and says, I have to pee. So she sits down, starts to pee. And her partner, another woman, steps out and she says, I have to pee too, right? And so she continues to go over to Jenny and straddles Jenny, tells Jenny to open up her legs, and then she starts pissing as well. So this other woman is it was like, oh, that is kind of gross.
Yeah, it is. So they're trying
sexy
to make it
gross.
Sexy, yeah.
Sexy but gross.
Well,
like,
yeah,
oh.
I don't see how that can be sexy. Yeah, let's go through the sex things quickly also. So more reasons why your sex life is not not frequent. You hit perimenopause, which is before menopause, I suppose. Decreasing estrogen and all that stuff. So we already know.
Is that for men? Increasing estrogen or women?
No, that's obviously women, yeah. I think this whole article is for women because it sounds like it.
Are they blaming us?
No, but for example, look what it says. It says, your man is just not into it. You know, so obviously it's talking to
right, okay.
But there was actually a book like that. He's just not up for it anymore. Or no, that's like a new book. But there was, he's just not into you or something, you know. And men are not, you know, I mean, you know, not everybody is like wanting sex all the time. And I don't know why nature did it this way, but it seems like males are at their hottest when they're like, 13, 14, until about like
mid-20s,
yeah,
late 20s,
exactly, you know, and women only start at their late 20s, 30s, you know, whereas, I mean, while by the time they get to their 40s, they'll practically fuck your brains out if you just have a dick and it's hard enough, you know, so women, I think, get very sexual in their 40s, and the men sort of decline, so it seems like we're never in harmony as far as that goes. So maybe, maybe it's meant that that women will be with younger men, you know, because then you both hit your prime at the same time, you know.
But that's not very rare that happens. It's usually the older men with the younger women.
Yeah.
You know? So that doesn't match up either.
No, it doesn't. But, you know, I think it has something something to do with it. Whatever. I lost
my
train
of thought. All right. What's another reason?
The next one is you're depressed. And that goes without saying, I guess. So, if you're depressed, you can't have sex. If you take antidepressants, you can't have sex. So you really have the stack piled against you, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Then we have your man is Viagra-ized, you know.
Viagra-ized? What do you mean?
Let's see. Da-da-da. The man, takes medication. Men head to the bedroom to relieve stress while women off. I don't know. I don't know what that has to do with anything. But
because Viagra is supposed to keep you up.
Yeah.
Or get you sexually aroused, right?
Yeah, but maybe it doesn't do so much for the women, you know.
No.
What it says is it says the result can be a physical and emotional disconnect in bed.
Right.
Whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the last one is you're sick and tired. You know, so
you're just sick and tired of the whole damn shit.
Exactly, and you don't have sex. So,
wow.
I think it's no secret that when you get married, as the years go by, there's less and less and less. You know, but it's obviously important to always keep it there. You know, because that's really the main thing that keeps a couple from just being roommates. You know,
yeah,
and because you have that connection. You know, you have that. The romance, the intimacy, and so forth. So, I think, you know, you can't let the sex die.
No.
You can't let it
die. Is your sexual life pretty healthy?
I'm not talking about my sex life, okay? Because I won't be able to step in the house tonight. So
no. Is that what happens when you have a wife?
Yeah. So until she stops listening to the show, I'm going to have to watch what I say.
It's all in good harmony here.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I mean, When you talk about sex, you know, we talk about it freely, like a word, sex, you know.
Yes.
But when you think about the act, it's like a very naughty, dirty thing, you know. I mean, you're taking the organ that you pee with, you know, and you stick it inside a woman's body, you know, and into, you know, two places that you never see out in the open, you know, and you just connect them together, and it's like so fucking naughty, you know, that... it's like we don't think about it. You know
what, Sam? I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, I mean, but when you're looking at someone, you know, at your friends or family or relatives, whatever, or even strange people on the street, and you imagine them having sex.
Oh, I do that all the time.
Yeah, you know? And it's like it's hard to picture this because, you know.
I do that all the time.
You know, and you're like so vulnerable. I mean, imagine like especially the woman, you know, in many positions, the women are really vulnerable, you know. It's like you spread your legs, your ass is up in the air, and you're just like being taken, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I could be, you know, as a man, I don't think I could ever be in that position, you know, with my legs in. Well, we should hope not.
That's right.
Yeah, but that's funny.
Unless you're gay.
Yeah, exactly.
You always got the bottom person. Yeah. Well, I always often look at people and I imagine them like, oh my God, could you imagine that dude having sex? Oh, gross, you know, or even just with a woman too, you know. I always imagine my biggest thing is jockeys, you know, the horse jockeys.
Right.
And they're little piney little guys.
Yes, they're always very light.
Really tiny, small. Tiny, right? Yeah. And the reason why this came up is because. I used to go to this gym where the jockeys, you know, because there was a race course close by, used to come into the sweat room.
Uh-huh.
And so all these itty-bitty tiny men, scrawny little things, used to come in there and do the sweat thing, you know, before they go and weigh in.
Right.
And my God, I couldn't get out of my head, you know, how these guys have sex. Because of the way they ride the horse,
yeah.
You know, it's a bit like little jackrabbits, like riding away, pretending they're like yeah. So it's just grosses me out just imagining that at least.
Yeah.
How about midgets? Could you imagine midgets having sex?
Yeah, I guess I can.
Or
we'll be right back, Manu. Okay. Be patient.
I will.
Cry. Fall asleep. CBS Talk, Talk Radio. Radio. Laugh. Cry. Fall asleep. Only with PBS Talk, Talk Radio. Radio.
And you're back with the Sam and Manu Show.
Welcome back.
You like your spots, huh? They're pretty cool.
Yes, I do. I do. Where did you get them from?
Well, you know, Greg from Barbecue Central.
He's doing all them?
Yeah, he's a genius, huh?
You know what?
Yeah.
I tell you what, he needs to be here to make some money
I
for
know.
That.
Yeah. Do some stuff for us, yeah.
Because there's the talent behind that, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And he's doing a good job, and we'll have him do some more stuff.
Yeah.
So we have a guest in the studio.
Yes, his
Would
name
you
is...
Please introduce yourself.
Yeah, hi, my name is David Brown.
Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Sure, yeah. Pleasure. So tell us a little bit about why you're here. Why did you want to come to the show?
Well, I'm here. I'm actually teaching a class on March 13th out here in Los Angeles, a four-week class on knowing yourself. It's essentially called Knowing Thyself. It stems from my talks out here in L.A., which I give on meditation and transformational healing by living in the moment.
Okay, and so you mentioned transformational healing.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about it, because I don't know anything about it, but it sounded fascinating when you wrote it to me. So I wanted to know all about it. So tell us briefly what it entails.
Transformational healing is a consciousness that is evolving right here and now, and essentially that's where transformational healing is it's to bring your awareness, your attention to the now moment.
Yeah.
To bring it right here and now, knowing that right here and now is where your true power is. So rather than where most people rest in the past, resting in the future, such as worry, anxiety, fear, doubts about what's going to happen in the future, or memories of the past, people might be resting in, for example, with, oh my gosh, a past relationship failed, am I going to repeat the same behaviors? Or they'll rest inside themselves, thinking about what have I done wrong in my life, am I good enough, am I worthy? So by resting in the present moment, by focusing and putting your attention on your breath, you become more alive and live in more of a freedom state, more of a joyous state.
So this is a like a breathing meditation.
Pretty much.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah, you can call it that, yeah.
I think I've heard of something like that where...
I know meditation in general, you concentrate on your breathing, right?
Right, exactly. In most traditional meditation is just you sit cross-legged and sit in silence. What I'm starting in this class and what is starting to evolve right now is that your life is one meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Your life is a constant meditation, being in the present moment, living in this moment. Simply pouring tea is a meditation.
Right.
By focusing on your breath, by just living in that moment, because that's where you are. You're nowhere else but right here and now.
Right, yeah. So to take full advantage of the present,
right.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Because it's a gift.
Yeah, that's why they call it a present.
Right,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So what were you going to say, Manu?
Oh, no. A lot of people that we know and work with and talk with every day always bring up the past and what's happened in the past and it was shit and they've come from abusive relationships, they've come from broken homes, they've come from all sorts of ugly, ugly things. You know, how does someone through transformational meditation, you know, get rid of that? This is a long-term kind of like training to push that aside, or what does a person have to actually do to overcome that?
Well, the first thing is when you meditate, you go beyond the mind. And most problems that are started in our lives are started from our mind, meaning that problems are caused by cleverness or cunning or all sorts of just different manipulations that we put on things. But
right.
To overcome something is to live in the moment with it. And so what you have to do is by living in the moment, you learn forgiveness. So forgiveness will break a habit. It will break the habit of, like you brought up, like, oh my gosh, someone just did this to me, or what a horrible relationship, or, you know, most people say, I hate all men, or I hate all women, when really they're just talking about one person
right.
that has done something to them. They're not talking about all the world that has done something to them. They're really just talking about a relationship. So what you do when you go inward, when you look within, you realize there is only one energy, and that one energy is everywhere. We're all interconnected.
Right.
We're all one.
So so let me ask you this now. When you only think of the present and you don't think of the future, for example, right? So where does like saving for the future come in? Where does worrying about how am I going to pay my bills? I mean, obviously that's something that affects you now, but it is in the future.
Sure.
You know, so how can I focus on the present when I have these things on my mind?
Sure. And I'm not suggesting that not having goals, not preparing yourself for the future.
Right.
Not saying that you want to go here. What I am saying is that there is a an energy right now which is absorbed, obsessed with the future, obsessed with things not going their way, obsessed about what if this happens or what if that happens. What I'm saying is that you can be in that present moment knowing that full well. Great CEOs do it. They sit in that present moment. They know what their future looks like, and they plan for it, but they don't dwell on it.
Right. So, so in order to do this, this is like more of a way of thinking. I should just tell myself, just focus on now. Forget about what's happening tomorrow. Forget what happened yesterday, and just live for now. I mean, it sounds like very idealistic. You know what I'm saying? So, how does one succeed in doing this? I mean, is this obviously something you practice all the time?
Right. Yeah, it is something that I practice, and it's a new muscle. A lot of people work on their bodies, their physical bodies, and neglect their inner
life. This is working on your mind.
Right. This is working on your inner life, working on that muscle that we go away from, that we don't want to look at. It's easier to blame something on the outside than rather to look within and knowing that the cause of everything, you're the star of your show, essentially.
Yeah. Right.
You're the one character that's the underlining character throughout everything in your life.
Right.
So when a problem happens, you should look within, no matter what the problem is. Now, as far as it being idealistic, what we're talking about here is an evolution. We're not talking about thinking your way through something. We're actually talking about allowing your feelings to come up.
Yeah.
So you're not negating anything. It's not something where it's airy-fairy, where your whole life is, woo, just peace and love.
Yeah.
No, you really have to, when you're in the moment with yourself, when you're experiencing your feelings, you experience the feelings as they come up.
Right.
But then you no longer become those feelings, meaning that, for example, if you're in a relationship and anger comes up, a lot of people will hold on that anger for weeks, couple days, three days, and they'll still be angry with that person because they didn't really connect with that feeling. They're scared of those feelings. They're scared of being in that moment with what's going on.
Right.
So what I am suggesting, what I'm inviting the listeners to do is when you're in the present moment, things will come up.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah. You know, you're talking
about...
And
recognize they are.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You were talking about you being the main character or the star of your life.
Right.
This is interesting because I've made an observation some years ago that, you know, because I was trying to figure out why do I get angry a lot, you know, and what's going on. And what I realized is that your life, for example, is a movie. And you're the main character in the movie, but you're not the director, you know. So in other words, you have no control over the entire movie. You can only control what you're doing. So you can only follow your script, but you can't change the script, you see. So the script happens. All you have to do is change. Everybody in your life is other actors and other characters in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't change their
behaviors
and their script either.
Yes.
You're not in charge, you know. So what you have to do is sort of like say, okay, so how am I going to act in relation to all the other people? I'm not going to ask them to change what they're doing. I'll change what I'm doing and how I'm thinking, you know. And when I realized, so like for example, I was thinking, okay, what if, you know, like sometimes we say, why does this person have to be this way? Why did they do this to me? And I think if you just realize that this is what they are and who they are and that's the way they've always been and it's not just because of you, then you don't get angry, you know, because you understand where they're coming from.
And also, no one can do anything to you but yourself.
Well,
you know. You're the only one that has control over your own, how you're feeling about something.
Of your own reaction.
Yeah. Right.
How you're feeling, yes.
Right. There is, we tend to go towards someone's doing something to us, therefore I can react. But you also have a choice in your reaction. And, for example, when you see your thoughts, when you become aware of what you're telling yourself, you'll realize that those thoughts are just thoughts that are just either a mass consciousness of thoughts, the same thoughts everybody's thinking, which is lack, limitation, doubt, for you know, fear, worry.
Fear, yes.
Right? But you also realize on a deeper level that they're impersonal.
Right.
And so if your internal world is your external world, you realize that it's impersonal. So if it's impersonal, if that's where you go in your life and that's your rationale, mm-hmm. then you'll see that life is just what it is.
Right.
It's yeah. only what we put on it. It's only the perception that we have that somebody's doing something to us, because no one can do anything to you without you allowing that to happen.
Yeah, well, except physical stuff. Or,
sure.
You know, or,
yeah.
or coercion and that. But I did want to ask you, so tell us a little bit about your classes. How exactly do you teach this? What do you teach people?
It's a practice. It's essentially allowing people to be in that stillness, which there a lot of people are scared of. They're scared to sit alone with themselves. They're scared to be with who they are. Because mm-hmm. the moment you close your eyes, or the moment you're asked to look within, you got all this crazy stuff going on. And
some people are afraid to do that, right?
Well, a lot of people are. And you know, who can blame them? I've been there.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's been there.
Yeah.
And it's a choice. It's a willingness. It's an invitation to go within and see who you are. We spend
right.
so much time wanting to know who somebody else is, like wanting the right relationship, when we don't really have the right relationship with ourselves.
Right.
So this class is geared towards knowing who you are.
Yeah. But when I look into myself, all I see is sex. You know, there's nothing much nothing much going on there. You know, so
sure.
It wouldn't be that interesting for me to.
What about self-projection on someone else? You know, I've heard this concept of, you know, when you, like, for instance, say I lash out at somebody, or I've criticized somebody else or ridiculed or something like that.
Right.
That's basically who I am, essentially, or I'm placing the blame on that person when it should be me.
Yeah.
Did I make sense then?
Yeah.
No, not really, but I think he understood what
yeah.
you were saying.
You understood what I said, though?
Yeah. Yeah, it's if you notice how you're feeling,
yes,
that day is going to come out on somebody else. And normally
right.
how you're feeling, you're bringing that energetically to you. You know, Albert Einstein said that we're speed of light slowed down to a material form. So we're energy. That's why you attract that feeling tone that you have.
Mm.
So yeah, that's why you should always, for me, like it's a new way of looking at life, but a great way to look at life. Rather than going without and looking within, we look within and then go without.
Right.
So you should always go in and check in and see where you're at and then go without.
Yeah.
And that's probably why people do that, because they're so afraid to look within
mm-hmm.
that they're constantly looking out and doing that projection outside.
Right, right. And so like someone would focus on trying to change someone else rather than trying to change themselves
right.
Because they didn't look inside.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, they're looking for the answers or for the blame somewhere else.
Yes.
Outside.
And
yeah.
that's what control is. Normally when people are controlling somebody else, they're out of control inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So rather than looking inside and seeing what that's about, they go outside because that's what they can see. Physically, that's what they know they can try to change.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, you're right. It makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot easier to try and change someone else. Notice I'm saying try, because I don't think, you know,
no.
you can't really change people unless
there,
they
yeah.
want to, yeah. But, I think the hard part is really to change yourself, you know.
Yeah.
Because it takes a lot, it takes admitting that something is amiss, you know, and I need
yeah.
to work on this.
Right.
Well, that's the same, you know, like you mentioned, you know, everyone's looking for that love, you know, they all want to fall in love,
right.
But they totally have no idea about how to be in love with themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so everything's all focused on the other person and trying to make them happy, and then trying to find that love in somebody else, and they're completely lost within themselves. And then, of course, the relationship turns into a disaster.
Right.
And that's male, female, gay, lesbian,
yeah.
everything.
Yeah, it's yeah. everybody. Yeah.
It's everybody.
It's
yeah.
all one. You know, it's all love. And in the class, you know, they'll develop a practice for meditation. They'll develop an awareness, a deeper awareness to look within and ask questions and really kind of get to the heart of some of the things that they might be afraid to look at, ask some of those tough questions.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the four classes, it will be almost inspirational for them, or a place where, hey, it's a starting point, like you had brought up, or it's a place I've already been at, now I can go to a deeper practice.
Right.
You know, it's going to be four classes where people really dive in themselves for 4 weeks, and it's not a class where it's me teaching and people just almost like reading a book, right? A lot of people read books or read self-help books or New Age books, and then they go tell their friends how they should be. I read Wayne Dyer, and this is what you should be doing, right?
Right.
And in my life, I was doing the same thing probably about 6 or 7 years ago, and then I realized, you know, it's time to walk the walk.
Yeah.
And the only way you could change the world is by changing yourself, because you are the light of the world.
There you go. There you go. And not only that, but again, it's a question of, somebody else is on a different ride. You're on your own ride in this life, you know. And to try and interfere with their ride or get involved in that really doesn't make it a point. Focus, I think, on your life, on what's going on there, and work on that rather than focus on other people.
Yeah.
And that's what I don't say. I mean, I'm even guilty of doing that sometimes.
We're all guilty. Yeah. I've been guilty of that.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're guilty of a lot of things. You should be in jail.
Wow.
I've never been a criminal. Oh, hang on.
Nice. Turn in for that episode, huh?
Yeah. Oh, I've done a lot. Yeah. I mean, I've had to deal with a whole bunch of stuff. And I personally know that there's a lot inside of me that I'm too afraid to bring up or acknowledge.
So do you think you live in a present, Manu?
No.
You don't?
No. I mean, sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm really good at it because I understand that.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of the times I'm in so much fear of
the future.
That I get lost.
Yeah.
Mm. And I do dwell. I do dwell on the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But not as much as I used to.
Yeah.
But now it's the fear of the future more than anything.
Yeah. Now, so what would you say to someone like that, David? I mean, how would she deal with something like that so she's not so bogged down by all this worry and this fear?
Well, the best thing is that she acknowledged that there's a part of her that's become aware of it, first of all. So that's always a good step when you become aware of, that's where you're focusing your energy. And now I would ask you, does worry help?
No, I don't sleep.
Right.
I don't sleep and I stress out and when I do that, then I become unmotivated.
Right.
Yeah.
So it does an adverse effect.
Right. And then
to the worst.
And then you become aware of your breath and see where your breath is. Is your breath high up in your chest? Is your breath low in your abdominal area?
It's high.
Right. Which means that it's control. You want to control the future. So when you start to breathe into your abdominal area, which is down like your hips, and you just allow the breath to be deep, and you breathe in there, and you just become aware of your breath. That's simply all you're doing. So when those thoughts occur, I invite you to focus your breath down to your abdominal area and just allow the breath to work itself, and you'll start to ask yourself questions like, why am I controlling my breath? Who's breathing me? Like, profound questions about yourself, and then that'll start to open up small doors and then bigger doors, and little by little you have openings. But it's all a step-by-step process,
But isn't that like just distracting yourself from what's at hand here? I mean, obviously we have the emotion of, I don't know if worrying is an emotion really, but it's obviously something we would like to not do as much.
Sure.
But the question is that really, if you, let's say these thoughts come into your head and then you just say, you know what, I'll focus on my breath for now, I want think about those worries. Isn't this like a distraction?
From what?
From thinking about what's important. You know, because, I mean, if she worries,
so
it's
worry
obviously
important?
Well, like I said, if she is concerned with paying the rent next month and these things, if you worry, you probably will do something about it.
Well, okay.
If you focus on your breath, how are you going to have any time to...
And that's an old paradigm. The old paradigm being that if I worry, it means I care.
Right.
Right? And we are all given that by our parents, and their grandparents passed it down. The new paradigm that is starting is that we are this place. We are this now energy. And so what happens when you live in the present moment is you acknowledge where you're at. For example, let's say you want to be able to pay your rent next month and the funds seem low. Well, you need to become aware and acknowledge where you're at. So the thoughts would simply go, okay, here I am. I have this much amount of money in the bank. Okay. And you breathe in the moment and you stay present. Then you go, okay, so my next step will be I'm going to look for a job. I'm going to do this. But just because you're in the present moment doesn't mean that you're giving up. It doesn't mean you're not trying. It doesn't mean you're becoming lazy. What it does mean is you you take your focus from going to a place that is kind of useless energy,
right,
and now you put it into a place of focused energy, and you become more focused in your life. You become, you know exactly where you're going and how you're going to get there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
So you can, so in essence, you plan for the future rather than worry about it.
Right. But you do it
did
in
you
the
hear that, Manu?
Right. And I, you do I it did. In the present moment. Yeah.
I'm being picked on, but I mean, yeah, I've been going through a lot of stress, and you know, obviously,
well,
it,
yeah,
I
it's
get,
normal,
I
but
get sleep, and I'm like, ah, but I do acknowledge, like, okay, just sit down, relax, just breathe, and I do say that, like, just breathe, something will happen, so, and I just have to remind myself, something's got to change, something's got to turn, something's got to happen, and it's just like we were just talking about. It's really, really difficult right now to find a job here in LA because the strike, and then of course there were so many actors out of work that they took up every job out there, and everything, you know, particularly the kind of work that I'm looking for, is attuned to the actors' world, and so all the jobs out there require looks. You know, so they want your head shot, body shot, and, you know, and
well, this
and
is
who's
LA,
who
you
kind
know,
of
I mean,
thing.
Yeah, you've got to be presentable.
But anyway, but it's something that's never heard of anywhere else. Yeah. It's just here in LA. Yeah. But I just found out yesterday that I went what I thought was a second interview, and I'm still stressing at the fact that I had no job. So I was like, okay, I've got a second interview, maybe this one, okay. Because I've had the second interviews a few times.
Sure.
And but for over a week, I had no idea, but I did get the job. Yesterday was orientation, not a second interview.
Congratulations.
it was kind of weird.
So did the worry pay off?
Well, actually, it was one of those points. It's like, you know, I just continue to apply. And I even went to a few other interviews. So when they...
Well, you know, I think worry doesn't help, obviously.
No.
You know.
You get churned up. It gets tight.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it. It gets tight in the throat and up here in the chest and everything like that. And you just walk around all crazy. And
yeah.
You know.
It's very aggressive, yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Actually,
It's willful. It's willful energy put, like I said, in a place that in the end doesn't serve you. Because if you look back at all your worry, I bet you none of it's ever turned out the way that you thought it would be.
Oh, no.
And it's
probably turned
out better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Actually, yeah, you're right.
You're right. I think we tend to think of the worst. But the only thing I have to say to that is that when you ask, does worry help? No, it doesn't. But I also don't think that worrying is a logical thing. You know, it's more an emotional. So I don't think you can rationalize it with logic. You know, if I'm worried, it's because I have these certain fears, these certain emotions. And if I tell myself, well, feeling this way is not going to help, it doesn't get through. I don't think it gets processed in the same area of the brain.
But
you know?
Right. But again, but when you're in the place of worry, right, and you just brought it up that you're dealing with a couple of different emotions that are happening in the moment.
Right.
So what I'm suggesting is that when that happens, you deal with those emotions.
I
and
see.
You
connect with them.
Yeah, you connect with them. And to be honest, as a man, growing up in a society, especially when I was younger, that feeling things is bad.
Yeah.
You know, and so now here I am telling you that to feel those emotions is okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. We still love you as you are. I see you exactly as you are, you know, which is peace, calm, tranquility, strength, abundance. You are just, you know, you're overriding with so much in you right now.
Right.
You know, and we should spend time dwelling on those feelings.
Right.
Trying to experience those feelings. Like, what does that feel like?
You're right. You know, focus more on the good feelings.
You're special, Sam.
How am I special, Manu?
You're just so special.
Oh, okay. Thank you. But I don't know how that got into the conversation, but never mind. So
I'm projecting.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
To make
you
feel
much.
Good, right?
Yeah.
Well, you did. You made me feel real good. Although it didn't seem sincere, so I let it slide.
Oh, it's always sincere.
So, David, tell us where your classes are, when you hold them, and what we can expect.
Sure. The classes will be held at the Evidence Gallery, which is on Beverly and La Brea. It's above Cesena Bakery and Starbucks on Beverly.
Beverly and La Brea, I know exactly
where
that
is.
So
people can go to davidmatthewbrown.com. It's got all the information on there if they want to check the website.
davidmatthew.com?
Yeah, it's David, M-A-T-T-H-E-W, Brown.com. It's all one.
Right.
So, yeah, the classes will be March 13th, Thursday night from 7:30 to 9:30. Uh-huh. And like I said, the classes, people will leave kind of becoming their own best friend.
Great.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
that's the point. And so what kind of, did you have to do some sort of training to get yourself to this point? Or did you go to, you know, some college, university, or some other, you know, spiritual teachings?
Well, currently I'm studying to be a practitioner at Agape Spiritual Center in Culver City.
Okay, it's heard of that.
Run by Reverend Dr. Michael Beckwith.
Yeah.
He was also seen on The Secret and Oprah and a lot of just different shows.
Okay.
Before that, I taught just living in the moment from my own experience.
Right.
As far as my own meditation and what I was gaining from my meditation, my own insights. And
right.
I would take classes and we'd sit in silence pretty much and understand what that feels like to live in that space, to live in that spaciousness.
And have so many people around you as well.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Support. It's good support. Yeah.
Because it makes me nervous.
Yeah.
Like to sit in a room. I did try and do the meditation class.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it made me feel like I was silly.
That's good, though.
Well, yeah. But it seems to work for people, right?
Yeah. I mean,
meditation. They've been doing it for 5,000 years.
Yeah. I mean, you know, people that do meditation swear by it, you know. I just, I'm like too restless, you know. I've tried it a few times. That's, and I mean, even yoga I can't do. You know, I'm like so restless and filled
and
with energy.
And that's good too, but maybe
but
that's what I'm suggesting.
Down, I think. Yeah.
Well, what I'm suggesting is that you're a physical creature.
Yeah.
So maybe sitting down meditation doesn't work for you. But what does work for you is when you're going on your walk, focus on your breath. Become aware of your environment outside. Focus on the sun hitting your face.
Makes
focus
sense.
On the trees.
Okay.
You know, just meditation could be anything. We're nature. You know,
right.
We ourselves are nature. So we are growing and expanding in a vibrant, huge way right now.
Right.
And you know, meditation doesn't have to be sitting down, like I said, in a cross-legged pose, humming and chanting, which is great. But if it doesn't work for you, then, hey, when you're on your run, when you're on your bicycle, when you're going for a walk, just become aware of where you're at and you'll notice a change. You'll notice just a change.
Well, I'm going to start doing that. You know, maybe I'll notice more pretty girls, too, while I'm doing
that.
There you go. That'll help me breathe hard.
As long as you don't do it while you're driving your car.
Yeah.
Right.
Stay
aware of the road.
Yes, exactly. I'm still paying for that.
Yeah, exactly.
But David, thank you very much. It's davidmatthew.com.
David Matthew Brown, yeah.
I'm sorry, David Matthew Brown. .com
right.
And they'll find all the information
all
there
the
on
there?
Your what do you call it, like a workshop or
a workshop classes. I've been calling them classes, but you can call them workshops. I do them all around LA. So.
Sounds great.
Are they single classes or is it, you know, a number of classes that you have to sign up for?
This is a sign up for four classes.
Four classes.
So they're all interconnected, yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. So you commit yourself to that, Manu.
Well,
maybe I'll treat you to that. You need to slow
make
down
become
a little
aware.
Bit.
And
if
you guys want, if they mention your radio station, if they mention BBS Talk Radio,
okay.
They'll get $25 off the class.
Okay.
Sounds good to
that
me.
That sounds great.
So just
sounds
have your
great.
Listeners
thank
mention
you.
That when they write me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so you can find all the information on davidmatthewbrown.com.
Correct.
How did
you
spell your middle name again?
M-A-T-T-H-E-W.
Okay,
that's
there was
a traditional
T.
spelling.
Yeah,
for that.
Irish. It is? Very Irish.
Yeah.
Are you Irish?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
And Sicilian, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Combination. I don't see the Italian. I see
I
a lot
know.
Of the Irish, yeah. Well. But, okay, so, well, thank you so much for
thank
coming
you.
In. You know,
thanks
I appreciate it. And it was interesting. It was definitely intriguing to hear about this, you know, new ways to deal with stuff. I'll take that any day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think we all have to learn it.
Yeah.
It's definitely a learning thing. I don't think it would be easy just for everybody just to go ahead and do it.
Yeah. Well, that's why you go to David's classes, you know, and he'll teach you how.
Come by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That's
so
scary.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have an Oscar quiz, Manu.
An Oscar? Oh,
an
no.
An Oscar quiz. Let's see how much you know about the Oscars.
Probably nothing.
And, well, let's see. We're going to find out.
All right.
We're back. Thank you to our guest, David. Definitely fascinating, huh?
Thank
Interesting
you, David.
Stuff.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was. And, I mean, it's something that's not totally new to me.
Yeah.
I'm aware of it, and, you know, I do my best to focus in on something like that. But, God, you know, sometimes our lives are so consumed about worry and fear and, you know, stuff like that, that it's difficult to stop and just think about the present, you know, dealing with it right now.
It's very hard.
On a positive side.
Yeah, I find it to be difficult, you know. Our phone lines are open. I totally forgot to mention this, but I know you guys already know that on the Listen Live page, you can find our phone numbers. I'll just repeat them. Our toll-free number anywhere in the U.S. is 1-866-515-6977. And outside the U.S., it's 323-284-2554. Although you must really love us if you're going to spend an overseas call to call us. But maybe somebody will. Who knows?
There's some people who have Skype are able to call in. Via the Skype, they just call the number.
Yeah.
It's really clever.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to go into an Oscar quiz.
Oh.
You ready for it?
All right, I'll do my best.
Okay. So we'll both take this quiz and we'll see what we know about the Oscars, which is
Where did you find this quiz?
This is on Entertainment Weekly on their website, EW.com.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do they have the answers there? Let me go.
Yeah, they're going to give us the answer. No, you can't find it until you actually check put the check mark on it.
All right.
Okay, so the first one is, which of these award ceremonies has never been held at the Shrine Auditorium? Which is, by the way, down the street from us.
Okay.
Okay. The Shrine Auditorium. Which one has never been held there? The Oscars, the Golden Globes, the Emmys, or the MTV Movie Awards?
The Golden Globes.
You say the Golden Globes. I would say... I'll go with the MTV Movie Awards. So I'm going to check. I'm going to do Golden Globe. Okay?
Okay.
And... You're right. The Golden Globes have been held off and on at the Beverly Hotel since 1945.
Aha!
The Beverly Hilton. So you were right on that one.
Woohoo!
Okay, I fucked up on that. Okay, number two. Which of the following stars has won an Oscar, a Grammy, a Tony, and an Emmy? Whoopi Goldberg, Julie Andrews, Harry Belafonte, or Cher?
I want to say Julie Andrews.
Julie Andrews, let's try. I'm not attempting this because I suck. Actually, it's Whoopi Goldberg.
Right.
She won an 85 Grammy for Best Comedy Album.
Yeah.
1990 Best Supporting Actress.
It was the Tony. I should have figured that out in the Tony.
And she also got an Emmy, Daytime Emmy, in 2001. In 2002, she got a Tony as a producer of Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Yeah.
So anyway, never heard of that.
Neither have I.
Who is the current president of the Directors Guild of America? Do you know that without me giving you the choices?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, so much for that. You ain't going to be a director.
No.
Okay, Michael Apted, Alan Rosenberg, Marshall Herskovitz, and Patrick Verone.
Well, I definitely know it's not Alan Rosenberg. Okay. Because he's the president of SAG.
Okay.
So I want to go with number three.
Marshall Herskovitz?
Yeah.
Let's try that.
For some reason, that rings a bell for me.
Well, you're wrong. It's Michael Apted. He was elected president of the DGA in 2003.
Right. Well, I'm not a director.
Yeah. Okay. So
little
far,
ignorant.
So far, you suck, and I suck even worse. Which of these awards has Tom Cruise never won? MTV Movie Award? SAG Award, Golden Globe, and People's Choice Award. That's a tough one.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Gee, I wonder what that one would be.
I mean, you would think the MTV Movie Award, but then again, it's a movie, so it's not about music.
Yeah.
Golden Globe, People's Choice. Let's say...
I want to say People's Choice.
You want to say that. Okay, I'll say that too, but who knows. No, it was actually for the SAG Award. He was nominated... for his role in Magnolia and Jerry Maguire, but has never won.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, both those movies sucked.
Which actor has the most collective Academy Award and Golden Globes nominations? Okay, so who has been nominated the most for both the Oscars and the Golden Globes? We have Jack Lemmon, Katharine Hepburn, Jack Nicholson, and Meryl Streep.
I have no idea.
You
mean
Jack
for the
Nicholson,
most nominations?
Right? Yes.
Is that what they're saying?
Yes.
For all those?
Yes. collectively between the Academy Award and the Golden Globes?
Let's say Meryl Streep.
You're saying Meryl Streep.
Yep.
Jack Nicholson seems too obvious, right?
It does. Yeah. It does.
Maybe I'll go with Katharine Hepburn. I don't know. Okay, so I'm going to choose Meryl Streep. You're right.
Yeah.
God damn it, see? You're right. Streep is nominated for the Oscar 14 times. And the Golden Globe Awards?
And she's never won anything?
Well, no. I mean, I think she has, but they're just talking about nominations.
Oh, okay.
Now.
Right.
I think she won for Sophie's Choice. She had to, or something like that.
Yeah.
Back then. But she was nominated for Oscar 14 times and Golden Globes 22 times.
Wow.
That's a lot of fucking movies, you know?
No kidding.
Yeah. She's a good actress. I love her.
Yeah, I do too.
Which is the tallest? No, I'm sorry. Which award is the tallest? The Emmy, the Oscar, the SAG Award, or the Golden Globes?
I want to say Golden Globes.
Golden Globes? Let's go for that. The SAG Award, also known as the Actor, is 16 inches tall. The Emmy and the Oscar... Oh, never mind. We don't care, huh?
Yeah, we don't care. It's just a SAG.
Which of these celebrities has not been slimed on the Kids' Choice Awards? Have you ever watched those?
No,
yeah,
I haven't.
So they have like sliming, you know, like in Nickelodeon and stuff, you know.
Right.
So they always have like kids doing these shows, and then there's like a green slime or something coming on top of them. So I guess they've done this to celebrities when they did the Kids' Choice Awards.
Right.
You know? So which one has not been slimed? Drew Barrymore, James Earl Jones, Robin Williams, and Will Smith.
Who has not
been slimed? I mean, can you imagine James Earl Jones being slimed?
I know, that's
what I'm
thinking.
He's like so straight, and, you know. And
but I mean, if they've been slimed, does it mean that they were the losers of the children's?
No, they were not losers. They just surprised them by sliming them while they're presenting an award or something. You know?
Oh, okay.
Just a surprising
thing,
you know.
Well, you know, I mean, James Earl Jones, that seems to be the most appropriate answer, because I don't imagine kids wanting to slime him, but who knows?
Yeah, they
you
probably
know?
Did. I think that's part of the show. So we also have Drew.
Do know that Drew Barrymore has been.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we have Robin Williams and Will Smith. I would say, you know what, let's say Robin Williams wasn't, because maybe this is like the most obvious guy.
Yeah.
Okay, let's choose Robin Williams. And no, it's Drew Barrymore.
What?
Yeah. All the others were slimed.
Oh, man. Did you hear on the Children's Awards? I have watched it once. And what's it called? The Children's Awards, right?
Children's Choice Award.
Children's Choice Award.
Right.
Cameron Diaz was up there receiving an award.
Uh-huh.
And she's doing a speech and everything like that. And she goes, I've got one more thing to say. And then she lets out this huge belch. It was like...
really? Right there,
like
huh?
this, yeah. Wow. And all the kids went like, yeah!
Wow,
yeah.
I'm sure the kids love that.
Yeah. and you know her laugh and her big grin and everything like that. It's like, oh, yeah, you go, Cameron. You tell them. So it doesn't make me feel so bad then.
Yeah, I know. She seems like a pretty cool person, you know?
Yeah,
she's
I've heard she is.
Yeah.
But she's another one that's lost in love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's she seeing now?
I don't know who she's seeing, but, you know, for someone who appears to be so sweet and just so adorable and so together, her love life is just terrible.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, hey.
Let's finish up our quiz here, because we're running out of time. Which of the following actors has not won both a Razzie and an Oscar for acting? Okay, now Razzie, I think, are the choice, are the awards for the worst movies.
Oh, really?
Okay. So, I guess what they're saying is here. There's a list of people that won both a Razzie and an Oscar.
So, they've won for the worst film.
And the best.
And the best film.
Except for one of them.
Okay.
One of them has not.
Okay.
Faye Dunaway, Laurence Olivier, Marlon Brando, and Clint Eastwood.
Wow.
You know, I would say Clint Eastwood. You know why? Because if anybody fucked with him, man... He would just, you know, if anybody told him, your movie is the worst.
But he'd go shoot him down.
Yeah, although he did have some ridiculous movies with the monkey, remember? Like Every Which Way
Is
Up. And
God, that was a horrible film.
Yeah, I never even saw it.
Jeez, I never thought. That was horrible.
I wouldn't be surprised if
Clint
he got a Razzie for that.
Let's go Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's try that.
We were right.
Yay! Yeah, we it must right. have been that monkey movie. Yeah. Because it was so stupid. It yeah. was a stupid film.
No, but actually
film.
He did not win a Razzie.
Oh.
Yeah, he's the one who has not won it. But I think my reasoning was right. Don't fuck with Clint Eastwood.
Don't fuck with him. Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
All right. A couple more questions. Which of the following organizations were the first to honor Sidney Poitier with an honorable award? Who cares?
Oh.
Who cares? I don't know this. I'm just going to answer anything. And finally, how many times has the GLAAD Media Award for Outstanding Comedy Series gone to Will and Grace? Okay. GLAAD is the gay and lesbian...
Yes.
Gay and lesbian advancement... I don't know.
I don't know.
What it stands for. I forgot.
Something in diversity? No?
I don't know. But, okay, so...
I'll ask Tiger.
Right. But it has to do with being gay, and obviously Will and Grace has to do about being gay. So how many times has the GLAAD Media Award was given to Will and Grace? 5, 6, 7, or 8?
I would say 8, because 8. It remained on the, series on and on and on, and there hasn't been really another great gay show, so to speak.
But you know that, they're going to give you something between the highest and the lowest.
Yeah.
So it's 7. It's 7.
Oh, well.
So 7 times.
We were close.
But it lost in 1998 to Sex and the City. So.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, there's more questions here, but we're going to move on. We can't do this forever. And,
I don't know. I could.
Yeah.
Might teach us a few things.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
I don't know. Okay, let's do a couple more.
All right.
Which of the following stars has won an MTV Movie Award for Lifetime Achievement? Jackie Chan. I don't know about that. But then, Jackie Chan, Samuel L. Jackson, Ron Howard, and Pamela Anderson. Now, the most logical would be Ron Howard since he's done so much.
Yeah.
But it's probably not going to be the obvious one. You think maybe Samuel L. Jackson? I can't imagine Pamela Anderson or Jackie Chan getting anything. Come on. You know, it's be a
Definitely
little...
Pamela Anderson.
An MTV Movie Award. You got to remember, this is based on, pop culture. They don't really care if the movie was good, you know?
All right, let's say Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay.
Because of his,
And if it's Ron Howard, I'm going to kick your ass.
Oh, okay.
Jackie Chan.
What?
Was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award in 1995. I mean, at that time, he hadn't done shit. 1995 for life. What the fuck kind of a show? What kind of a quiz is this?
Well, right. It surprises us all, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's it.
All right. Good.
No, there's more, but forget about it. anyway, so tomorrow we're going to have another guest, and of course, I don't remember who it is, but I'll do my homework.
See, this is the great thing. We never know. I never know. Yeah. More so.
Right.
I never know who's going to come in. So it's always a little surprise for me every day.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, I wonder who it is. And I keep asking you, who is it? Who is it? And you go no, I'm not telling you.
Yeah, I'm not telling you or I don't remember. I polish up on it 2 seconds before they walk in.
Yeah, he always tells me, go to the front desk and make sure such and such is like, well, who was the guest?
Yeah.
I don't. Well, hang on. Let me let you know.
Yeah. I don't like planning, you know. It's like every time when they tell you, okay, sit down and write out your goals. I can't fucking write goals down. I can't.
No.
I simply can't.
Neither can I.
And I hate planning, you know. It's just sort of like just show up and do it, whatever, you know. It works for me, you know, but not always.
It works for me. I mean, there's a lot of shit that I've never planned in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just like moving over here, I just interviewed via the internet, you know, for the school up in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
And came back like, oh, we would like to invite you to join the school. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. So I bought the ticket and packed up everything and off I went, all within a month.
Wow.
And I had no idea where the school was, where Seattle was, God forbid, what Seattle was like, or where I was going to live.
Yeah.
I totally turned up in a city knowing absolutely nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Got me in a little shit, but,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, who does something like this, Manu?
Just me.
Yeah.
I do it.
You're so fucking crazy.
I do it. And I still do it.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I still do it. You know, wow. I just did it a couple of years ago. I lost a house and just packed up my house and off I came out here.
Yeah.
You know, having no idea what was going to happen or what I was going to lose.
Yeah, that's scary. That's scary.
I know.
Seattle is beautiful though, huh? Why did you leave?
Because it's wet. It rains all the goddamn time.
That's true.
And it's great. And it's miserable.
And imagine.
And I was depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine the only time I went to Seattle was a few months ago. I was hoping there'd be rain there because it rains all the time.
Right. And
Two days, nothing. Nothing.
You know, that
sunny.
Totally sucks.
Sunny. But it was beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, we went on the Space Needle. It's amazing what you can see from up there.
Yeah.
Have you gone up there?
I have not.
You lived in fucking Seattle and you haven't gone.
I lived in Seattle for 5 years and I never once went to the Space Needle. I was not. That city, I could never go back there again and I'd be happy.
Really?
Yeah.
So you have bad memories.
Right? I have a lot of bad memories there.
Yeah.
Totally sucked.
That's terrible.
So, and I wasn't one because, you know, I'm. Come on, I grew up in North Queensland. It's tropics. It's, you know, scuba diving, warm waters, the Great Barrier Reef, you know, the tropical rainforests. I mean, the weather was just immaculate. You know, what's the big saying in Australia, or up there at least, is beautiful one day, perfect the next.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it was.
Really?
You know, beautiful one day, perfect the next.
Yeah.
So going from that to Seattle, and then all the stuff that was going on in Seattle, just totally like, ugh, I just never ever would want to go back to that city again.
Yeah.
And I told all my friends up there, like, don't expect me to come up there and visit.
Yeah. Well,
not even during summer.
You got me wanting to be in a tropical place now.
Oh yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, even
we
Hawaii,
were spoiled.
You know? Yeah.
I was spoiled, so spoiled growing up.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, it'd be awesome to grow up in an area like that.
It was hot, but my God, you know.
Yeah.
It was just the way we grew up.
Yeah.
I grew up butt naked, bare feet, you know, on the beach, going swimming all the time, scuba diving, Great Barrier Reef, the beautiful tropical rainforest. Just amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Did you used to ride horses and stuff too when you grew up?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
I did too. I loved horses. I mean, my parents would take me every once in a while, and I'd take lessons and stuff. And I must have been like maybe 11 or 12. And one time I fell off the horse. You know, the horse just kicked me off him. And I fell on the sand, and my parents are just panicking and stuff. And I'm like, no big deal. You know, I get right back on back up on the horse.
Well, at least you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love horses. In fact, I should go sometime. You know, I mean, that's definitely
one
thing to do. I always look for things to do with the kids on the weekend.
Right.
And we never have anything. And
you
I'm
know,
thinking horseback riding would be awesome.
Yeah. Well, Griffith Park is now open again. And they have the most amazing horse rides.
Really?
And very inexpensive. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I think it's like 50 or 60 bucks. And you can actually take like 3 or 4 hours horse riding. They'll take you right up there into the hills and
But I want to be like alone so I can make the horse run and stuff, you know?
No, you can do that too.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay, because just walking, letting walk is not interesting.
No. I mean, they have rides for more advanced riders.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, so that
God knows I'm not advanced at this point, you know? And, you know, the horse knows right away if you're experienced or not. You know?
Oh,
they
yeah.
They sense it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She would have seen me one time. I was in New Zealand, and I wasn't used to the horses in New Zealand. Believe it or not, if you ever go to a racehorse and you're wondering, oh, what kind of horse do I bet on?
Uh-huh.
Always go for the horse from New Zealand.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because they just go flat out about. And because of the terrain that they handle in New Zealand, and it is wet in New Zealand, they're used to soft grounds, and they're used to, you know, like high elevations. And they're also used to going up and down like big mountains and jumping over things and stuff. So my horse riding experience in New Zealand just scared the shit out of me.
Really?
Because I was holding onto the mane, and that's all I could do. This horse would not stop.
Yeah.
It just took off.
Yeah.
And everyone was laughing at me because I looked stupid.
No, but you know what? Every time I talk about horses, I can't get these things out of my mind. You know how sometimes you... you like browse the internet and stuff, and then okay, let's see, there's this porn and that porn, and let's see, and you get start get curious, and you find things that you never should find anywhere, you know? And one of these things is women having sex with horses. Now,
I've seen it live.
Have you seen that?
I have
live?
Seen it live.
Where?
It was a 21st birthday party, and...
Someone had a woman have sex with a horse at a birthday party?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, I thought I've seen it all, but...
Yeah, so this woman ride, there's like hail bays and everything, you know, hay bales.
Right.
And this woman comes on in, yee-haw, you know, all dressed up and everything, rides in on the horse. And everyone's like, yoo-hoo, yay, we're in for a show and everything. Yeah. She gets off
was
on the
naked?
Horse. No, she wasn't. She had a cow, you know, her cowboy stuff and everything like that.
Yeah.
It was sexy-like, though.
Right.
Very sexy. Uh-huh. And she does her little dance thing on the hay bales.
Uh-huh.
And she ties up the horse and everything like that, does her thing. And then she starts doing a striptease.
Wow.
And then she lies down on the bale, pulls the horse to it, and she starts
jerking
off the horse.
Right. Did she blow him?
No, then she started having sex with the
really?
Horse. She got the horse all hard and
right.
reared up.
She
and
inserted
then she,
that whole
and
thing.
And then she started
in her vagina?
Having sex with the horse, yeah.
Really?
And, I mean, I couldn't do anything else but stand there in just awe. Because I was just like, holy crap. I mean,
the shit that people do, you know? The shit that people do.
Actually,
I mean, have sex with a fucking horse can kill you, you know?
You know what? I had the plumbers over at my place yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And he had to replace all the pipes underneath my sink, right?
Right?
So
uh-huh.
it was all the metal, the old metal pipes.
Right.
And I said to him, I said, "Well, I hope you brought your Sawzall." And he says, "Yeah, sure." And
your what?
Sawzall.
What's that?
It's a tool.
Uh-huh.
It's an electric tool, and basically you can connect different blades to it, and you can cut literally through anything.
Oh.
You know, it saws all. You know, saws everything.
All. Okay.
Okay.
Saws
so it's
okay.
called a Sawzall.
Okay.
Anyways, this thing just entered into my mind because he pulled out the Sawzall and he says, "Yep, I've got it right here." And he was a funny plumber, actually.
Yeah.
And so I raced over to Tiger, and I started whispering in their ears, like, "Oh my God, you should have seen what I've seen done with a Sawzall."
Uh-huh.
This porno site, you know, used a Sawzall with a dildo strapped to the Sawzall,
uh-huh.
and you know, was doing it
oh,
with the
like
girl.
Oh, like the fucking machines?
Yeah, like a fucking machine.
Wow. Yeah, I've seen those.
And my voice obviously carried into the kitchen, and he started laughing, and he says,
really?
"Yep, I've seen that one."
Okay,
and
well,
it was like, okay, you heard me on that one.
Yeah, I was wondering how you got from fucking horses to your plumber, but now I see the
now you see how. But you should see it. It's just like, holy cow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you ever see Jackass 2, the movie?
No.
Okay. Well, there they actually milked a fucking horse, a male horse.
They
milked the male horse.
Hang on. They thinking it was a female horse? Or
no,
they
no,
milked
they knew.
It for
they milked it
sperm.
For semen, yes. And they put it in a fucking bottle, and then this guy was drinking it.
Oh, gross. Are you serious?
I'm serious. That was the grossest fucking thing I've ever seen.
See, that's bestiality right there.
But
you
they
know
do
what
crazy
I mean?
Shit. They do.
See, that's not from the consent of the animal.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I think
exactly.
we've had this kind of discussion before.
Yeah,
when it goes to that, when you don't have the consent of an animal or of another human being, that's when it becomes wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they got away with it, but they did.
Obviously.
You know? Yeah.
But, you know, there's some sick people out here. And I would never go out and see those movies because, you know, I just think they're idiots. Absolute idiots.
Yeah.
Ignorance.
Well, I don't know. My son dragged me to see it. And, you know, I mean, you laugh because it's so stupid. The stupid things that they do, you know. I mean, this guy had his ass branded, you know, with the hot iron.
Oh, I saw the clip of that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was like a penis, the shape of a penis. You know?
Are you serious?
Yeah. Or that this other guy. Okay, now this, you want to talk about extreme. This guy, they had like a snake tank. Okay, there was a snake inside a tank.
Right.
Now, there's a little hole on the side. This guy puts a sock on his erect penis. okay, that looks sort of like, I think, like a mouse or something, and he sticks it in the fucking tank, okay?
Are you serious?
And waiting for the snake to bite it.
Oh my God, no.
Can you fucking imagine?
That just sounds insane.
It is insane. And I don't remember now if the snake bit him or not, but just doing that is extreme. I mean, the shit that they've done there. You got to see it
sometime.
This
is on,
you know?
Jackass? Is this too on Jackass 2?
Jackass 2. I didn't see the first one, yeah. But they're crazy, these guys, you know. And Steve-O and Johnny Knoxville and all these other guys are just amazing, you know. It's really crazy.
Well, we'll see where their life takes them.
Yeah.
Like, you jackass.
Well, Manu, here goes another day.
Yes.
Another dollar or two.
Another day, another dollar.
Yep.
Yeah.
So are you starting your job today?
I start my job kind of like officially on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then I am working over the weekend. But typically it will be from Monday to Friday. From 12:30 to 8:30.
Oh, good. Good. Yep. Well, finally we'll start seeing you smiling a little bit. Quite frankly, I'm sick of listening to all this.
I know.
But no, I mean, that's life.
And
you, know,
and you just
life.
Didn't want to go to work.
No, I don't want to go to work. That's why I spent fucking 14 hours here every day. I don't want to go to work. No. That's what I think of that. All right. So anyway, and if you keep boring me too much, I'll play.
Oh.
Okay. So anyway, Manu, and to all of our listeners, we had a record number of listeners today, and it's really encouraging. And we're going to continue bringing you great entertainment, at least we think it is.
Yeah.
And we'll see you again tomorrow.